Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
All right, we're going to go to this message right now entitled Stand. And this is part two, entitled, You Were Built for Standing. Say, I was built for standing. This word stand is really resonating in us because it's what we need. It's what we have, amen? It's what Christ has made available to us. Again, resurrection, the word anastasis means to cause to stand, to cause to stand up. And so we have that power. Although we're still beset with challenges, we still face opportunities to not stand up. And so there's no question about if you can stand, you will stand. There's no question about if you have to stand, you will stand. So all the questions that you have, can I and will I, the answer is yes. Say, I will stand. You will stand because you were built for standing. When I face trials and challenges nowadays and for several years or recent years, my answer is always, I was built for this. It's not excusing it or making it easier. It's just the fact of entrusting grace, God's grace. When the word says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, what does that mean? It means you were built for this, whatever this might be. And so we are built for standing. There's a stanza from an old song that says, nobody said the road would be easy, but I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Say amen to that. Love that. That song and that truth. Because we have to continually stir our hearts, remind ourselves we're not just standing today. We were built to stand. We were built for standing. And that's even more important when things are difficult, when things get hard, and things do get hard out here. And yet the truth, the foundational truth does not change that you were built for standing. Say it again, I was built for standing. Sometimes we don't understand our design from God's perspective. I mean, life can beat up on you so much until you think that the circumstances define you. But no, the circumstances don't define you. Don't let them define you. Because from God's perspective, we are Imago Dei. We are image of God. That's the reason why you don't look like what you've been through. Because you were built for standing. See, I was built for standing. Thank God for that. And so that's because you were designed and built by God. And the key is to always remember in whose strength are you standing. Again, we are Imago Dei. Now, Miles Monroe said this. I quoted this last week. I'm going to say it again today. The only one who knows all the facts and truth about the product is the manufacturer. Everyone else only has an opinion. Because if you're going to stand and know you were built for standing, who built you? Who made you? Whose design are you fulfilling? Well, that's why we talk to God about our hearts and the minds, even our bodies, because he's the manufacturer, he's the creator. So understand who you should allow to direct your life. Thank God for friends, thank God for advice, thank God for anybody who wants to speak to us and encourage us. It's good. Just don't let people try to define you. If people start going in trying to tell you about you, just say, oh, time out, excuse me. Somehow just slow them. Time out. Put the brakes on. You know, I already know who I am. I'm complete in Christ Jesus, who's the head of all principality and power. So if people come correct, listen to them. But they start trying to define you to you. No, no, no. You can't know me more than I know me, more than God knows me. So the manufacturer, the creator is God. Always be clear that your maker is God. Again, you're imago Dei. You're made in the image and likeness of God. So the Lord is the one to consult about your life. Be sure you do that. About your life, your design, and your purpose. Consult with God. God, what is my purpose of my life? What is my design? Talk to God. Read the scripture. Listen to him. Worship God. And it'll become clear to you that only God can define you. And listen, y'all, again, don't let people distort who Jesus is to you. Amen. He is creator. According to scripture, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. With God, Word was God. Through him, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that was made. That's talking about Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody get that twisted. Don't diminish who he is, because you need to know and live in the reality of who Jesus is to you. Amen. All right, Ephesians 6. Here's our text. Foundation text, again from last week also. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Read with me, please. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles and strategies of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's some heavy duty stuff going on. All around you, but you were built to stand. And no matter what comes, the first part of that is the key. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not my might, not anybody else's might, not in the systems of the world might, but in God's might, in his might, and put on that whole armor. Why? To stand against the wiles, that is, the schemes and the strategies of the devil. Then verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor. He mentions it twice in this whole text, that you may be able to withstand. See, withstand means this. It means that when it comes and hits you, you can continue to stand. So you stand to withstand. Now, standing is good. I'm standing. Well, can you withstand? Because the attacks come. Sometimes they come hot and heavy. Sometimes unrelenting. So standing is the start, but withstanding is the grace. We need to continue to have the withstanding, continued attacks, if you will, of the enemy. He says, withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. So there it is. Now, we touched on this last Sunday. In fact, Bible study Wednesday, we covered this. Watch or listen to the teaching from Wednesday. But in summary, the whole armor of God, Paul uses armor, Roman armor, as a parable of the type of virtues and power we walk in. And he says here, the waistband of truth, that is the belt, if you will, holds everything together. Truth holds everything together. For the Roman soldier, of course, he hung his sword on there and they kept his garments up and all that. He says, breastplate of righteousness, guard your heart. Nothing worse than self-righteousness. Isaiah said, those are like filthy rags. But what we have is the righteousness of God. It's a gift. It's a free gift from God. He said, feet shod, or footwear that takes you into places to share the gospel of peace. So we have these shoes on that we can go where God wants us to go, to take good news, to take peace, to help people where they are as they are. Excuse me. Then he said, the shield of faith that quenches or wards off every attack of the enemy. Faith is your withstanding power. what you believe. Because sometimes it's the lies that present themselves to try to persuade us away from what God promised us so that we are healed even when we're feeling sick. Amen. We're healed by Christ while we're going through that healing process. The shield of faith, he says, will ward off. We learn also that the shield, in context, it wasn't like a little round shield that you hold up like this, you know, like in front of you, uh-uh. and try to point it to stop what's coming. It was this shield they had was a body length shield, head to toe, made of two big pieces of wood. And we understand from the context that because the enemy fired these arrows with tips, tipped in tar and set on fire, they were fiery darts. But when the fiery arrow hit the shield, it sunk into the shield and the shield quenched or put out the fire. That's real life. And so your faith will put fire out, put stuff out, not just ricochet it off. It'll stop it. It'll quench it. Say, my faith will quench, will stop fiery attacks. Amen. Amen. The helmet of salvation gives you assurance of your position in God. When you know you're saved and walking with Jesus, he's in you, you're in him, that is assurance. That is confidence in God. The sword of the Spirit, which empowers you to exercise the word of God in every situation. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. What the Bible teaches, what the Bible says, what you believe and understand, have learned and studied, that is the sword. Now, all these items are defensive, but the sword is the offensive weapon, not against people, but against the circumstances, against the devil, against the things that come against you. Amen. Amen. So the word will give you grace and give you power to exercise the word in every situation. You can name a situation, y'all, and there is scripture to cover it. I mean, if not specifically, in principle, there is scripture to cover everything you're dealing with. But if you don't know what the Bible says, you don't know what the promises are. And then finally, prayer and supplication above all. So that's in the lesson. In fact, this next slide just shows you we have a Bible study page now. So every Bible study, what I'm teaching, whoever's teaching will have this page with the resources, links. I'm asking the ministers and teachers to post something, to post a commentary, to post notes, to put up resources to back up what they're teaching. Amen? And so that QR code, you can scan that. That'll take you to that page. It is newcovenant.org/Bible study. So bookmark that, and we'll put the resources there. Now, this Bible class is every other Wednesday. And the dates are also on the same page, all right? And teachers' names will be there too. Amen? Amen? All right. Now, you were built for what? Standing. Say it. I was built for standing. God's strength and might in your life comes from his consistency, from his word, and from the order he has established in creation. Talked this last week. I want to bring it back around because if God wasn't consistent, we have no place to stand. If the foundation wasn't firm, you could get nothing done. And so in all this topsy-turvy world, all this inconsistency in the world, you have a consistent God. He is utterly consistent. He's trustworthy. Amen. And Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So that's our North Star. That's our compass point of reference, that when you don't know what else is going on, one thing you know, Jesus Christ, he's the same. God's order is consistent. I can build my life on things eternal. There's a song, I think there's some song that says that. Build your life, what, on things eternal? Yeah. Amen. So then, again, we showed this last week, that God's consistency and power is reflected in his creation. Again, there's that picture. This is a scale of the sun, part of the sun, and the whole earth and moon are in the same picture. And again, the moon is 400, the sun's 400 times wider than the moon. And yet, with the solar eclipse, we had, it appears, the moon is the same size as the sun, and the moon could cover the sun and just show us the sun's corona, a beautiful, amazing sight. But the truth is, the heavens declare the glory of God. You don't get that by chance. Come on, somebody. There's no evolution going to make that happen. That's all by design. And the message is that you are by design. See, I am by God's design. So the structure of nature is not by chance, it's by design. So again, God's consistency and power is reflected in his creation. All right. Now, 1 Corinthians 10. We discussed this in the men's meeting yesterday. I'm going to bring it up to you today. Now listen, y'all. Only stand in God's strength. Now, we read in Ephesians, it says, be strong in the Lord, right? And in the power of his might. He says, doing all the stand therefore. Then we read in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul wrote in verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Now I ask the question, I said, brothers, is there a contradiction? Because in Galatians, Paul said, stand. He said, do all to stand therefore. Now he says over here, if you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Is there a contradiction? We pondered that and we answered it. And of course, there's no contradiction in the Bible. You might have a contradiction in your mind. You might be conflicted. But if you read, again, the context, right? Context, the whole, all around the verse you're reading, the old saying is that a text without context is a pretext. That is, a scripture text without this context, it pretext something you just thought it means, you know. So when people look at the Bible and say, well, I think it means this, we don't care what you think it means until you've understood what it's really saying. And of course, the rule of interpretation is, what is the original intended plain meaning of the text? What is the original intended plain meaning of the scripture? So start there. Don't start what you think. Because now we're in what Paul said, therefore let he who thinks he stands. Now, here's the difference. Here's the answer to the question. In Galatians, it all begins with be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Then he says stand. You stand in the might of God. Here in this text, and Paul is talking to the Corinthian church. Go look that up. Understand who he was talking to, the audience. The Corinthians had issues. Their issues had issues, okay? But the point is, he said, now, let him who thinks he stands. Now, the verses before this, verse 12, he talks about some of the history of Israel and their inconsistency. So then comes this point, says, now, if you think you're standing, take heed lest you fall. The fact is, if you're strong in the Lord, you don't think it. You just do it. You just do what God says. You don't think, what should I do? What should I do? No, you don't have to think. What you do is you go look at the word of God, worship the Lord, get in God's presence, and what he says, do it. Be strong in him. And then put the armor on and go stand. Just do it. Sometimes we are doing too much thinking. We're trying to outthink. We're overthinking. Amen, somebody. We are creating for ourselves problems by trying to think our way through rather than trusting in the strength of God. Now, thinking is, of course, important, obviously, but don't put what you think ahead of what God said. Amen, somebody. Say, I won't put my thinking ahead of what God said. And when people start telling you, you know, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Oh, hang on to that. It might be your last piece now. You hang on to your piece of your mind now. You hang on to that. Hold on to that. Don't give that up. I don't want that. Hang on to that one. What we need is the power of God. See, I need the power of God. All right, so back to that text, please, on the screen. So he says, Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13, for no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. Meaning that don't show up saying, I'm going through this. I'm going through this. It's just so unique. I'm going through this and nobody's been through it before and woe is me. And it's just something. No. Your temptation is common. The circumstance is unique, but the actual what you feel happens to everybody. Being tempted is very common. Even those who are strong in the Lord, you're tempted. But because you're strong in God, you overcome it. But if you're tempted and start trying to think your way through it, oh my goodness, you're in trouble. You can't think your way through. You can try, but it won't work. You ever tried thinking your way through something? Without God, if you tried, how'd it come out? It's experiment, all right? Didn't work out. So then, he goes on here in the text, and Paul writes about the fact we're all tempted, but God makes a way of escape. Again, back to that scripture, please. He says this. All right. It says, but God is faithful, who not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, here's what it did not say, y'all. It did not say God won't put no more on you than you can bear. If anybody say that to you, look at them sideways. Go get a Bible. Read your Bible. Really read your Bible. Because he who thinks he stands. See, when you think, this is the mess you get into. Making up scripture. He didn't say he would put no more on you. He said, not allow you to be tempted above what you're able. And that's important because if we're in a mindset of God won't put no more on me than I can bear, then that leads to stuff like, well, I got all this debt, all these bills, but you know what? He won't put no more on me than I can bear. God didn't put no debt on you. You put that stuff, you bought all that stuff you couldn't pay for. God will put that more on me. No. You put that on yourself. All that debt, all these payments. You have a raise. You have enough money. When I'm meddling now. Because I've been there now. I'm not hating on you. I've been there. You pay stuff out, it's like, man, I got a raise. I got a raise all of a sudden. But the text is saying, simply, again, go back there again. God is faithful. Say he's faithful. Even when you're overthinking and trying to think your way around and really not being strong in God, he still shows you mercy. Amen. And Bible says he will make a way of escape that you can bear it. That is temptation, not the stuff you got yourself into, but the temptation to go the wrong way. And so understand that this is what God does for us. And that's why we are standing in the strength of God. We discussed yesterday, we asked guys, what does it look like to have a way of escape? Ed Owen said, well, it looked like running from stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like David was caught in a situation. Not David, it was Joseph was caught, you know, with Pharaoh's wife lusted after him. And so, not Potiphar's wife. And so, man, he's like, I'm gone. He ran. And she had hold of his clothes. I mean, his outer garment. He ran so fast, it tore his clothes. She had part of his clothes in her hand. He's out of there. So a way of escape is run. I mentioned also accountability. That means that you have arrangement with a brother or a sister in the Lord. I mean, a brother to brother, sister to sister. If they ask you how you're doing, you can't lie to them. Well, you could, but don't. How are you? How was your week? Then you got to tell them what happened. That's a way of escape. We don't choose, but it works. Amen. So again, that's why it's important to take the scripture, learn, study, delve into it, get the context, because you were built to stand. But understanding what that means is so essential. All right, let's move on here. God and the things of God are consistent. Learned that last week. Some things, or rather things that are consistent, make you stronger. Things that are inconsistent make you weaker. We discussed that last time. It's so true. Many examples of that. For example, if you're in the habit of prayer and Bible reading, morning devotions, you get to a point where you can't imagine a day without it. You're so consistent with praying and reading the scripture until it's like, if I miss that today, I really miss something, you know? And so you get to a point, as David said, my soul thirsts for you. I mean, even your natural mind wants God. Your heart always wants God, but your mind, your thinking, your emotion, your feeling, you want, all of you wants God present in your life. Another example is encouraging other people. You know, you get in the habit of encouraging people, you encourage others, and guess what? You reap what you sow. Encouragement come back around to you. So again, these are things that are consistent make you what? Things that are consistent make you stronger. All right, Genesis 8:22. Here's the principle we're looking at here. After the flood, God said this: while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. So God is consistent in nature, and he reflects that consistency in creation. We have these cycles of life, these times, these seasons, activities in a whole ecosystem that kind of speak to us of God's order. And again, the eclipse, it's been predicted. We knew the day, they knew the day and the minute it would start in our state, in our city, 50 years ago, because that's how consistent the moon rotation is, the earth rotation, all these things. Now, of course, we know that in life, things sometimes don't work. There's storms, earthquakes, so there's trouble in this life, in this world. But the underlying principles of God's consistency do not change. Y'all believe that? Amen. So that's why you have a firm foundation. All right. Let's discuss strategy. Get into some strategies. I'm going to give you two today before I finish up. Now, a strategy is a plan of action or policy designed to achieve a major or overall objective. Now, the devil has strategies. Text said that. Well, we'll talk about what that means and how we can counter that. So the strategy I mentioned about a mission trip example, going to Africa, the strategy is, you know, discuss when to go, look at the calendar, who we're going to work with when we get there, all that. But the tactics deal with getting the tickets, getting the insurance, and all the things you need to be effective, the actual items you do. So the strategy is the plan, the tactical is the things that we actually do. These are military terms, but yet they're applicable in our lives. So then we understand that. Now, let me give you this. We're going to learn this. So again, the Bible says, stand against the wiles, schemes, or strategies of the devil. Watch this. The best way to overcome the strategy of the enemy is to have your own strategy from God. It's called being proactive. The best way to overcome the devil's strategy, scheme, have your own scheme from God. In other words, we often say, you know, to avoid backsliding, front slide. Lean into God. Focus on him. And your strategy will define your tactics or the things that you actually do. For example, we have this continued scourge of violence among youth in our city. Every big city sees this. We're always grieved by it. And one of the things I say to young people is, there's a strategy behind young people getting caught up in violence. I mean, the devil obviously wants children to not live out their days. He wants them destroyed and killed. He's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the strategy against the devil's strategy, for example, I tell young people, stay out of parties. Stay out of parties. Why are you going to the party across town? Why are you going to be up in everything, people? You don't know those folks. You may know one person up in there. So don't go in places where foolishness, listen, y'all, is not a matter of if it's going to jump off. It going to jump off. It's a matter of how deep is the foolishness. Now, it don't amount to murder and killing usually, but sometimes it does. And one thing for sure, if you aren't there, it won't happen to you. Now, you know, there are ways to party and do it right. You know, I mean, at home or wherever, just don't get caught up going someplace, following people. Here it is. Develop a strategy where your friends are really friends. You know, friends don't put friends in danger. Friends don't expose friends to harm and compromise. Also say this, a strategy. Don't just be a follower, be a leader. You start something yourself rather than falling in behind the crowd. How about that? They partying over there. Well, you start, do something different. Get two or three of your friends. Y'all have a party of four people. Four of you. People you know. I grew up with some guys named Avon, Kevin, a guy named Gerard, and I'm forgetting one. It's been so long. Avon, Kevin, Gerard, Danny. Those are my guys, okay? And we were a different place, but see, we stay connected. Now, listen, y'all, I'm not trying to suggest we had it all together. We were serving God in prayer meetings and fasting and praying. I'm not saying all that now. But I am saying we didn't get into no really crazy stuff. Because you don't get crazy like that with people you really know. Because they know you enough to keep you out of crazy. Y'all believe that? I don't know about that. Well, find somebody who's not crazy and you'll find out. Meet some non-crazy people and you'll understand. Life can't be lived that way. Amen? So again, the best way to overcome the devil's strategies is to have your own strategy or plan from God. Here's the strategy of the devil I want to bring your attention to. Distraction. Hindering and disrupting God's plan in the lives of believers and preventing unbelievers from coming to faith in Christ. Distraction. Remember this thing called the path principle. I may teach this again in the future, but let me explain this to you, path principle. It fits right here. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6 says, "For at the window of my house," this is like a story, a parable about a harlot, a person, a fictitious person with bad intention, "looked through my lattice, I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner. And he took the path," say path. "He took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night." A lot of bad stuff happened in the evening at night, okay? My wife reminded me when I was a kid growing up, we heard this thing on TV. "It's 9 o'clock. Do you know where your kids are?" That don't matter now because the story needs to be, "Do you know where your parents are?" Because that, you know, the message would be different today. But notice the path principle. Let me break it down to you. Watch this. This Andy Stanley coined this phrase. The path. A path is a direction leading to a destination. When you step onto a path, your intentions don't matter because you're going to go wherever the path leads. That's the path principle. What you intend doesn't matter. All that matters is the path you're on. So sometimes you say this, that's not a party, it's a path. It's a path. And so we all are on these paths. In fact, I got some handouts for you. Go ahead and pass them out, ushers, if you could, please. I got like a worksheet for you. And let's think this through because I want us to understand that we are built to stand. We're built for standing, but it's not that we don't just have it. We say that and do no work towards it. Okay? So again, that path principle. Direction leading to a destination. In that worksheet I'm giving you, just ask very simple question. What are your main things? We'll come to that in the message in a moment. What are your main things? And we're asking about the path you're on. So look at that sheet. Glance at it for now. Work on it later, okay? Right. So then this path principle. Another one of the enemy's strategies is making lesser things the main thing. There's no saying that says, keep the main thing the main thing. Say, I will keep the main thing the main thing. And that is so important because, again, distraction plays into this. We start focusing on things that are not that important. Somehow marketing, the whole marketing advertising, you know, paradigm, if you will, is designed to influence us to think and buy a certain way. Well, Ephesians, here's the main thing from the text, first of all, the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So then summarizing, look at this, the main thing from that text are being chosen. Say, I'm chosen.
I'm chosen.
To be holy, say, I'm holy.
I'm holy.
I'm predestined, say, I'm predestined. That is predestiny. That is God beforehand decided some things for you. And then it says, doing the good pleasure of his will. So I am doing the good pleasure of God's will. So I'm asking you, what are your main things? Now, that's the scripture. But based on scripture, what are your main things?
Right.
Work on that a little later. Let me talk about this now. More scripture before I get to my last point. Look at this. About standing. The main thing is how we are standing and built for standing. Romans 5 and 2 says, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Say, I am standing in the grace of God. What is grace? It's God's favor, all that, but also God, grace is everything God has. Grace is everything God has that it makes available to you. Say, I'm standing in grace. Galatians 5, 1 says, for it is for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery, a yoke of bondage. So I will stand firm and not let myself. I won't let myself. Say, I won't let myself be burdened by yokes of bondage. You decide these things. Then finally, Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take, nor sit in the company of mockers. It's like path principle stuff too, right? Don't walk in step with the wicked. Don't stand in the way that they are going, right? Don't sit where mockers sit. Again, it has to do with strategies, how we understand God has caused us to stand. And finally, let me share a story of a brother I knew. His name was Eugene Parker. Born same year I was born. He died in 2016. Eugene Parker was a sports agent. He was a mentor to athletes. And by context, I'll say he was born and raised in Fort Wayne, Indiana, by a single mother. And he was a member of Summit Church with Pastor Al Jennings, his pastor. See, Pastor Al was his pastor. And I met him. I've been in his house with the elevator and everything, you know what I'm saying? His own private basketball court with the family logo in the middle, all that, you know. God blessed him. He was blessed. But amazing thing is, with all that blessing and provision, if you just Google his life, you'll see he was not that flashy guy. He lived in Fort Wayne. You know, he had another house someplace else, but he wasn't like trying to be seen and heard. He was trying to serve his clients. And then because he was dealing with people, young men out of college, then parents were looking for guidance, not just big contracts, but how to handle. But here's the story I'm going to tell you about Eugene Parker. He was a good student, but a better athlete. Went to Purdue University on a basketball scholarship. And when the coach, when his coach asked him what his goals were, as a freshman, he said, "I want to go to law school." The coach said, "Well, let me clarify. What are your basketball goals?" He said, "I want to use basketball to go to law school." That's the main thing, keeping the main thing the main thing. You get that? A lot of kids get caught up and want to be a professional athlete, which is noble, but honestly, most kids won't make it there. So use that opportunity. Keep the main thing the main thing. So I like this. So then, as it was, Parker did play for Purdue all 4 years, made an all Big Ten team. He was picked by the Spurs in the fifth round of the 1978 NBA draft, but didn't make the team. But it wasn't something he was crushed by. He said, "Understand," he said, "the NBA was never a goal for me. So I never thought of it as a failure, not getting there." As he told the coach, his basketball goal was to use basketball, the education, the opportunity to go to law school, become a lawyer. And so he attended Valparaiso Law School, graduated in 1982. And he began his career as a lawyer and then a sports agent. And he had dozens of NFL players from Emmitt Smith, Larry Fitzgerald, picture Deion Sanders you saw there. These were all athletes he had dealt with. And he was really well known. He actually negotiated a contract with Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys. And at the time, he secured for Deion Sanders what was an astronomical signing bonus, and in exchange for a more modest salary. Big bonus, smaller salary. And it was such a big deal that the NFL changed all the rules because there's a thing called a salary cap. I won't get into all that. The point is, Eugene played the game, got his client a whole bunch of money through a loophole. And so NFL closed the loophole after what Eugene did, okay? So I'm saying that just to say, as an example of keeping the main thing, opportunities will come your way. Many things will present themselves to you. Be clear about your design, your purpose, so that you can then, if need be, you let God take this to help you get over there, you know? Don't get captive. Watch out for the lure of lesser things. The lure of lesser things can captivate your mind and make you miss the main thing. Say, "Lord, thank you. I won't miss the main thing. You are my strength. I stand in your might. I was built for standing. And help me, Father God, to keep that focus in Jesus' name. Amen." Give God some praise if you bless. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God.